You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, along with Jean Purcell. Coming up, the country and state are becoming more diverse, and it's perhaps most noticeable in some of Wisconsin's more rural areas. We'll hear about that later on. First, Governor Walker said yesterday that he's considering the consolidation of some state agencies in the coming year. He didn't give specifics about which agencies. We'll look into that a little bit more. Governor Walker's administration also expressed interest of getting rid of what he calls rarely used state panels. He's here with us to talk about possible mergers and the process of merging agencies is Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. Mordecai, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, what's the thinking behind possible consolidation of some agencies?
You know, reorganization is sort of an element of our political culture. We generally have politicians who say what we need to do is we need to reorganize the government. And reorganization is a kind of a code word for cutting fat, cutting duplication, cutting costs. But generally speaking, if you go back to the history of reorganization of the federal government, there have been lots of reorganizations, but they generally don't save money. They might improve management. And maybe the best example is the Department of Homeland Security, which was a reaction to September 11th. And was it a good thing to create? Sure. It's sort of like chicken soup. It doesn't hurt. But on the other hand, is, let's say, the TSA or the Secret Service better coordinating with each other? Probably not that much.
Well, this is speculation at this point, but do you have any idea about what possible agencies could be considered for merging consolidation?
Well, some people will remember that Governor Doyle had created, I think it was called the Department of Children or Department of Children and Families. I might not have the title quite right. He carved it out of a larger Health and Human Services department. So in other words, from one department, he created two. I wouldn't be surprised if Governor Walker would suggest that coordination of all services to individuals in need would be better done through one organization. And so you have one secretary and one office of legislative liaison and so on. But the line bureaus, the programmatically oriented bureaus based on various state laws and federal programs, that wouldn't change very much. But there might be some modest savings.
Well, last session, the GOP suggested merging the Department of Safety and Professional Services with the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Now, Governor Walker has already said he's not necessarily thinking about that this time around, but why was he looking at those two last time?
Well, I suppose one could make an argument that if you're engaging in agriculture and consumer protection and trade, that you're engaging in regulation, regulation of people, regulation of businesses, enforcing rights, having inspectors, for example. I suppose one could make an argument that the old Department of Regulation and Licensing, the new one that you mentioned, the new name, that department also engages in credentialing and professional licensing and regulation of professions, that somehow there's a kind of an overlap in the thrust. I suppose one could make that argument. I tend to agree with Governor Walker that it seems to be a bit of a stretch.
So we've got Governor Walker looking at merging some state agencies. He's also looking at getting rid of some boards altogether. A couple of these that are of note, the Transportation Projects Commission, which is, I gather, the first stop for highway projects before they move on up the food chain. That seems like kind of a big one to get rid of. What do you think is going on with that?
Well, when we're dealing with the issue of advisory committees, citizen committees, commissions, I think the only correct answer when we talk about whether to abolish them or not is it all depends. You know, there is no one formula. For example, just because an organization has met recently doesn't mean it's important, or vice versa, that it hasn't met recently, that doesn't mean it's unimportant. For example, the way I would look at it is, does this advisory committee, does this commission, does it improve public administration, and more importantly, does it improve the commitment to the public interest? In other words, is this a method of facilitating citizen participation in government, citizen advisory committees? In other words, a way to sort of negate the built-in advantages that the stakeholders of an agency might have. In other words, the people who are regulated by that agency. It's really unclear from the list that was mentioned in the paper and then the one that you mentioned whether these are important for citizen participation for the public interest or not.
And would you say that same argument holds true for another agency, or rather a board that's getting a bit more notice as we talk about this? This is the governor's own Pardon Advisory Board.
Right. This is a really interesting case. And sort of, Veronica, I like that you're zeroing in on, in a sense, some principles of good government. After all, our state constitution gives the governor, I believe it's a totally unlimited power to pardon, just like I believe the federal constitution gives the president the total power to pardon. And going back to Governor Lucey, governors tended to do it just sort of on an almost, I guess you'd say, ad hoc basis. But after Lucey, it became much more formalized that there was a process for applying for a pardon, and there was an advisory board and a committee of civil servants who would look at the applications and who would make a recommendation if it seems to be a good idea or a bad idea for a pardon, leaving the power, of course, to the governor. And so I think one could make an argument that maybe it improves the process of reviewing pardon applications to have it. But on the other hand, Governor Walker has not done much pardoning. And so perhaps the argument that would be in his mind is, I rarely pardon, so why do I need a pardon processing board or pardon advisory board? But, so I think it gets back to the it all depends principle. Is this helpful or not helpful, whether or not it's met recently?
Now, Governor Walker, he said he wants to get some of these boards that are rarely used, the ones we've mentioned, the Pardon Advisory Board, the transportation projects are ones that are being singled out because they do get more use or they have a higher profile. But as someone who's worked in government and watches government, are there a lot of these boards that simply don't often get used, are kind of superfluous?
Veronica, my guess is if you were to take the state statutes, in other words, the code of state laws and the code of administrative regulations, and put in a search for council or advisory board or committee, I think you'd be astonished at what your results would be. I would guess that there are a couple thousand of those at least required by law or by administrative rule. You know, when I was in the legislature, there would sort of be common that somebody would have an amendment to a bill that would say, if we're creating a new program, then let's have an advisory committee. Let's have a citizen participation committee. And so these things tend to proliferate whether they're needed or not. And I think the governor's desire to cull the list, or at least to look at the list, is a healthy principle of good government.
Now, Governor Walker said that mergers, now consolidating state agencies like he's looking to do, would allow him to eliminate positions at the top of these agencies and therefore save money. What kind of money-saving potential do you think there is there?
I think it's minute. I think it's sort of, for each of us taxpayers, it's probably a dime. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. You know, good organization is important. And we as Americans, we understand what an organization chart is. And we understand sort of the hierarchy of power and that a secretary oversees various bureaus. But if, let's say, you're merging two cabinet departments, so you're going from two secretaries to one, two deputy secretaries to one, the legislative liaison to one, and so on, that's only about half a dozen positions. I mean, otherwise, you need all the bureaus, and you need to coordinate amongst the bureaus. So I suspect it's a pretty small number. Now, a lot of people think that government should follow the pattern of business administration, and it's very typical in business administration that the number of direct reports to a CEO, in other words, the number of people who report to the CIO, who can in a sense walk in on him at any time because he or she supervises them. Generally speaking, in business administration, there's a perception that it ought not be more than about half a dozen, maximum 10. That if a CEO, whether in government or in business administration, has more than, let's say, 10 direct reports, then they really can't supervise them. That's way too many. So I would guess that the governor's instincts are that maybe there are too many direct reports right now and that he'd want to reduce it. But that doesn't necessarily reduce the size of government. And the best example is Jimmy Carter, who campaigned for president. One of his themes was that when he was governor of Georgia, that he reduced the number of state departments from several hundred to something like 8. And that didn't really reduce the size of government. He just created these sort of super departments of direct reports. And whether it's a good thing or not is really a kind of a chicken soup answer.
And briefly, Mordecai, how contentious do you think this idea to consolidate is likely to be?
Well, generally speaking, all Americans in all parties, regardless of ideology, are in favor of efficiency in government. After all, that's what public administration exists to do. I suspect that, given that there will be a Republican legislature and a Republican governor, that their view of economy and efficiency will tilt to the right of the political spectrum, which is understandable, that they want smaller government, lower taxes, don't like big bureaucracies. So I would suspect that we're going to see a relatively substantial effort. The governor will sort of make one offer, and I wouldn't be surprised if the legislature antes up and one-ups him by abolishing more things, because that would reflect Republican conservative ideology.
Mordecai, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Veronica.
We've been speaking with Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee. Governor Walker said yesterday that he's considering consolidating government agencies in the state in the coming year, and he'll announce them in February.
Coming up, diversity is growing in Wisconsin and around the country, and some of the largest growth is in rural areas far from the usual metropolitan centers of diversity. But first, it is our year-end membership drive. I'm Gene Purcell here with Veronica Rickert, and it's the listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio year-end membership drive. Time for you to think about how much you've appreciated Wisconsin Public Radio programming during 2014 and how we know you'd like to help keep us going strong in 2015. So right now we're asking you to take some action with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Just two more pledges to go. Two more pledges to reach our goal for this hour in about the next 5 minutes. Give to WPR to support the programs that you rely on, and here's another great reason to give.
That's right. We've got two tickets available. You will be entered to win two tickets on a Wisconsin Public Radio trip when you make a gift of any amount. Of course, you're not required to make a pledge to enter the drawing for those tickets, but if you make a pledge, it's that much easier. You'd get to choose among the trips to Washington, D.C., or France, or a cruise along the Alaskan coast.
A big thank you if you've already given, but if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
During the last segment, we heard about a topic that's pretty close to home for most of us, a discussion of what the proposed budget for the state of Wisconsin might look like for the next 2 years, and a pretty in-depth discussion of what it might mean in terms of changes to some state agencies, what some of those possibilities might look like, and a really good example of the work that we do here every single day on Central Time, much of which is focused directly at Wisconsin. Wisconsin information for Wisconsin listeners. And that's what we're all about every day here on Central Time.
Your support makes the many topics we cover every day on the show possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, that feels comfortable in your budget, and then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, you get to decide the amount of your pledge. That is the way that pledging on public radio works. Every single pledge matters. Every single pledge helps to pay for the programs you love here on Wisconsin Public Radio. When you make your pledge, ask for the limited edition 2015 WPR calendar. It features historic photos of WPR throughout the years, and it's great, actually. It's yours for a gift of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a critical resource for the state, and the only way that it's going to be maintained in the long term is to have people who support it. I think it's great to be able to hear what is happening in various parts of the world. I think it's critical to have that resource available, whether we use it every day or not. I like being part of the system that is supporting WPR. Being a supporter of WPR is important for everyone so that they can make use of the resource that is available in our state. I'm Doug Nelson from Pewaukee, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you know, Doug's exactly right. It is important for everyone to make that pledge, make that support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. I'm Gene Purcell, back with Veronica Rickert, and we're asking for your support of WPR during our year-end membership drive. And perhaps your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is exactly the right amount.
When you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, you can be assured that we always have your interests at heart. We can continue to serve our listeners and communities because of the support we get from our members, including the 600 members of WPR's 9XM Leadership Circle.
Now, the 9XM Leadership Circle members support Wisconsin Public Radio with gifts of $1,200 or more every single year. That's $100 a month. So if that's something that fits into your budget, make this leadership gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When you support WPR, you're supporting the Wisconsin idea to spread the resources of the university across the entire state. Not every state has an idea like that, and not every state has the high-quality programs you enjoy daily on Wisconsin Public Radio.
That's right, and if you've traveled around the country, if you've sampled other public radio, you know that is true. Wisconsin Public Radio is one of the great things about Wisconsin. It's something to really take pride in, and you can join forces with many other Wisconsinites right now and make that contribution. WPR.org is our website, or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
And when you give, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets to go on a WPR trip of your choice. A pledge of any amount is your chance to enjoy the very best of Washington, D.C., a visit to France, or exploring Alaska.
And look at that. We've made our goal. We are exactly where we need to be right now. So big thank you to all of you who called, who made a pledge, who pledged online. We really can't do it without you. So thanks for that hour. If you'd like to make a pledge, you can still get in on it, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And as always, thank you for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.